Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, a voyage of the space cruiser Argo. In the year 2212, the Earth was subjugated by the Comet Empire. 5 years of occupation has bled our planet of all resources, leaving Earth a dry, dead husk. Having extracted the last value from our world, the Empire now sends an enormous fleet to end all life on the planet. But the last remnants of the Earth Defense Force have a desperate gamble to save us. They have resurrected and launched their final weapon, the space cruiser Argo. After passing through a large asteroid belt, the Argo was ambushed by Colonel Nazca's combined space fleet. Timely use of the mighty wave motion gun broke the trap and destroyed the attacking forces. But the victory came at a heavy cost. Many of the Black Tigers were damaged or shot down, including their flight leader, May Gideon. In the intensive care unit of sickbay, Doc McClendon attempts to revive the wounded pilot, while some of the crew wait outside for news.
Vega?
Yeah. What is it, Mac?
Just surprised to find you down here is all. Any news?
Some. Doc says her life support was offline when they found her. He's afraid there may be brain damage.
Ugh. Rough, man.
Doc! Any changes?
Nah. She pulled through and everything checked fine. We'll know more when she wakes up, but...
Is she...
May's in a coma right now, son. We can try and forcibly wake her, but that will cause damage. Best to let nature take its course. Stevens, something you need?
Captain wants you to look over that Empire priest we hauled out of the escape pod.
No rest for the weary. Hey Vega, you can go in and sit with her if you want. They say people in her straits do better when there's folk about.
Yeah, I think I will. Thank you.
Okay, Mac. Lead on.
High in the captain's cabin atop the Khan Tower, Executive Officer Jordan Venture is meeting with Captain Wildstar regarding their current situation.
And so we have 7 fighters down for repairs. We've salvaged enough from the enemy fighters to make do, but May's ship was a complete scrub. There isn't enough left to put it in a box.
Well, we have that spare Tiger too. She can use that when she recovers.
In the meantime... Who do you want flying the lead?
Her second will do for now. What's his name again?
Philippe de la Roche. You sure?
Mostly. I don't know him very well, but I trust May's judgment of him.
Fair enough. By the way, I don't know if you've heard or not, but I think we have a problem with Vega.
What now?
It isn't anything serious yet. It's just that he's down in sickbay. Like he's waiting for May to wake up.
Yeah, I know. If it starts affecting his job, we'll intervene. Till then, just let it be.
You don't think this sudden concern of his is odd?
Sure I do, but... Just before we started the final refit, Vega's brother was shot down much the same way May was. I think it really affected him. Like I said, keep a loose eye on it. But let him work through it.
Bridge to Captain Wildstar.
Go ahead.
Sir, you wanted to know when we were past the jammers? Long-range communications are clear.
All right. I'll be down presently. Let's go phone a friend. Reyes, here's the taped message. Repeat it at odd intervals. You know the drill.
You got it, Captain. The imps won't trace our location. At least not on any signal I send.
Has the doc finished looking over the prisoner yet?
Not yet, Captain.
I see. Mr. Schneider, have you finished going over his escape pod?
Yes, Captain. And the prisoner's personal effects as well. Nothing terribly useful. Though I did disable all the pod's tracking systems.
Good. Keep me informed of any changes. XO, you have the bridge. I need to see something.
Most Holy Xavier, prelate of the Imperial Church, has been placed in modified officers' quarters under heavy guard. He's not said a word since being brought aboard. Now he watches warily from his bunk as the door to his cell opens and the guards escort in a man wearing a doctor's uniform. Xavier watches as the doctor passes a few scanners about him, making notes and frowning a lot. Then, as if satisfied, the doctor packs everything back into a small satchel, hands it to a guard, and tells them to leave. When they eventually do, the doctor pulls a chair over to Xavier's bedside and spins it around, sitting with arms folded atop its back.
Something wrong with your voice? so you can talk. You just don't want to, that it? You know, no one's gonna hurt you. You don't have to be afraid.
I do not fear you. I do not fear death, nor pain. I am safe in the hand of Goram.
Goram? You're God, I take it. Oh, don't give me that look. You said you were a priest when we brought you on board.
You will get nothing from me, infidel.
Finally. A priest who's not going on and on about how we're all going to hell.
I will not waste time trying to save those who cannot be redeemed. Your fate is on your head.
Oh, yeah? Fine, then. Turn your back. Offer a man some decent compassion, isn't it?
Compassion is for the weak. Strength is all that matters.
Really?
Only in strength do we walk the path of Goram. Strength brings us power and will. With them comes the right to rule and to determine our great destiny.
Your destiny?
We will rule from one side of this universe to the other. Our strength will close with itself, and we will become worthy of following Goram to the next world. It is our destiny.
You know, my people have a phrase for that. Might makes right. Sounds like a neat little bundle, but there's just one problem.
And what is that?
It never works.
Seated beside May Gideon's bed in sickbay, Michael Vega ponders the strange series of events that have brought him to this point. He remembers looking up at the night sky as a child, trying to count the stars. He remembers how Thomas and Richard laughed when he said he would be the first Earthling to see them all.
Well, Richard, I made it. Kinda. Captain!
As you were, Vega. I sort of thought I'd find you down here.
Doc said it was all right.
I'm sure. Don't worry about it. How's she doing?
Unchanged, sir. Doc says he doesn't know when she'll wake up.
Yeah, well, she's strong. She doesn't understand the meaning of give up.
Mm-hmm.
Son, I can hear the question rattling around in your head from here. Spit it out.
She said... May said that you and your fiancé helped raise her. She called you her uncle.
Not by blood. I knew her father. He was one of my teachers when I was a cadet.
And Nova was Nova Forrester, wasn't she?
Yes.
As an admiral, Nova Forrester, who led the fight against the invasion of Jupiter.
What about her?
Nothing. I'm sorry, Captain. I can see it's painful.
Painful? Painful is watching the love of your life die from a nice, safe control room on the other side of the solar system. Painful is watching every one of your friends go with her one by one. Sandor, Homer, Eager, Dash, all of them.
Captain?
I don't like to talk about it. Don't spread it around, Mr. Vega. Please.
I won't, sir.
Good. Keep an eye on May for me. Tell me when she wakes up. Oh, and tell her the flight crew is working on a surprise.
I will, sir. Wow, I really put my foot in it.
What the blazes happening here? Captain looked like hell was right behind him.
I asked him something that upset him.
You got on him about Nova? Good for you, son. About time somebody did.
No, I didn't say that.
It's all right, Vega. I already know all about her. That was definitely his Nova look just now. Come on, son. You earn yourself a shot of the good stuff.
I go on duty soon.
Kid, I would not give this to you on your deathbed. It's older than I am.
Okay then. Jeez. That's good, all right.
Best damn spring water in the galaxy.
Huh?
Private joke. Now, son, you got the look of a man with a big question on his mind.
Nah, it's nothing.
You just found out about Admiral Forrester, and now you want to know why the captain wasn't part of the Jupiter fleet. Why he was back on Earth when every fighting ship we had died on the Jupiter line.
How did you...
We old Missouri medicine men get real good at reading minds. Well, it's not for me to say, Vega. But I can tell you that it gnaws at him. Something awful. Wildstar's a good man. Carries all sorts of ghosts around with him, though.
I guess. Thanks for the drink, Pops. But I've got to get back up to the bridge.
Go on, son. I've got some thinking to do my own self.
The Common Empire is a galaxy-spanning civilization. For centuries, they have expanded from their core worlds deep within the Andromeda Galaxy, until they subdued not only their home galaxy, but half of the Milky Way as well. Theirs is a history of glorious conquest, all in service of the great Emperor himself. Now, the commander of the Combat Empire forces in the Milky Way, General Geron, reports to his superior, the Supreme Commander of the Imperial Military, Admiral Khan.
Admiral Khan, I bring news from Earth.
What of it? The Scourge fleet has not arrived ahead of schedule, has it?
No, Admiral. As you know, I sent the Orion Special Arm Fleet to investigate some anomalies in Earth space and to prepare the way for the Scourge fleet. Sir, the Orion fleet has been destroyed.
What?
We have a report from Colonel Nazca that apparently Earth lied to us when it surrendered. The space cruiser Argo was not, in fact, destroyed. The ship has been launched and has defeated all our forces in Earth's sector.
I see. And what news from Galman?
We have won a great victory there, Admiral. The Galman Emperor, the traitor Deslok, has been driven from the throne world. His forces were so depleted that in the end they resorted to hiring several mercenary units, mostly Earther pirates and other assorted scum. We have him surrounded and can crush him at our leisure.
That is good news indeed, General.
Emperor Jamorta, we kneel before you, my lord.
Rise, Khan. General Geron.
Lord.
I have been made aware of the situation. Split your forces. Maintain your pressure on the man who betrayed my son. But send all the ships you can to reinforce the Scourge fleet. The Star Force is a dangerous foe. We underestimated it once to our great cost. I want that ship destroyed, Geron.
On my life and honor, it shall be done, Emperor. I shall command the reinforcements personally.
Go now, and work my will.
My lord.
Admiral Khan, prepare my comet fortress at once. I shall journey to Earth space myself. After the purification has been performed, we shall destroy the world utterly. No trace of it can remain.
As my emperor commands.
Aboard the Argo, salvage operations are nearly complete, and preparations have begun to warp to the fleet rendezvous at Neptune. Michael Vega has completed his shift and returned to sickbay, where he continues his bedside vigil. The long hours eventually get the better of him, however, and he drifts off to sleep in his chair.
What? Where am I?
Oh, you're awake.
What happened?
You kamikazed into an oncoming missile and they found your ejector seat malfunctioning. You've been here in the sickbay for 2 days.
Have you been here that whole time?
More or less. I wasn't gonna let a little thing like your death allow you the last word in our argument, was I? Hang on, let me go tell Doc you're awake.
I know. I'll let everyone on the list know, too.
I've been out for 2 days. Is the ship all right?
Yeah, you saved it. You kept us covered long enough to fire the wave gun. Took out their whole fleet.
Hey, thank God. Doc just told me. Come onto the hangar. You've got to see this.
Whoa, hey, put me down, Philippe.
No chance. You just woke up.
I can walk, you know.
Sorry, can't do that.
Okay, we're in the hangar. Now what?
Why are you grinning like that, Philippe?
Okay, guys, lower it.
What the? An astrofighter?
It's your replacement plane. We painted it the old Black Tiger's paint scheme for you.
It's beautiful.
Oh, goody. Y'all are down here. It took some doing, but we finally scrounged up your new issue. Here, one box to a customer. Well, at least you're human. Now get those damn home guard rags off your backs.
That wasn't me. Or did that sound like a grudging apology?
Oh, I wouldn't push it. That probably is the closest you'll ever get from him. So what did Santa Mac bring you guys anyway?
Let's see. Well, he wasn't kidding about new issue. Crew uniforms. Ooh, black with yellow trim.
Welcome aboard.
So, tell me, does this make us officially part of the crew now?
You always were.
Back again, are we?
Oh, I got to thinking about what you said. Would it surprise you to learn that my people once thought they had a manifest destiny, too?
Do not compare our faith to your debased histories.
Oh, no. Two are downright identical. This was centuries ago, mind you. Folk from near about my home came to the realization that God wanted them to have a land that reached from sea to sea. Didn't matter if the land belonged to anyone else or not.
I will not listen to this drivel.
So they sent wave after wave of folk out into the wilderness, killing and plundering the land, setting their flag in other people's homes, and destroying cultures that were old when we were just learning to crawl.
Your people deserve to be purged. Compassion to weaker cultures? I had no idea the heresy had penetrated so far into the hinterlands.
The heresy?
Teachings of the false goddess Telzati. A misbegotten pack of lies propagated by weak bloods.
Weak bloods?
Gorom's fist, must you echo all of my words?
Only if you insist on not explaining the terms you keep throwing around.
Fine. Weak bloods are members of my race who are marked as unworthy by Gorom. They are pale, sickly creatures. They rather resemble your kind, actually.
I see. Wait, wasn't... Oh, what the heck was her name? Zordar's daughter.
Invidia. His great shame. Siring a weak blood into the royal line. It's what led to his exile.
Zordar was exiled?
I can see you will not leave me in peace if I do not satisfy your curiosity. Very well, then. Zordar had sired Invidia, thus tainting the royal line. His father, Emperor Jarmorta, could not bear the sight of it, so he exiled his chosen heir to the far reaches. I can still remember seeing his comet fortress leaving the throne world, white as a mark of shame. Zordar and his followers set out to redeem their honor by expanding the Empire's domain, and then...
What?
I will say no more. The truth is not for your unworthy ears.
What truth? This is all bygone history, isn't it?
I am weary. I will say no more. Leave me.
You ain't tired, you're afraid. Why? What about this truth are you so afraid of?
Communication, any reply from Gallman yet?
No, sir. All channels are silent.
I see. What's the estimated reply lag from here to Gallman space?
Barring interference, it's just under 3 hours. Assuming they received the initial signal, they should have replied long before now.
Very well. Keep trying, Reyes.
Roger, Captain. It could be that the Empire is intercepting the signal out beyond our range to detect it. If Hans is right and the Imperials went after Gallman next, there could be any number of jamming fields between here and there.
Assuming the Gallmans haven't already been taken out. We've all heard the story about how Deslock defected and then helped us out during the first invasion.
Thanks a lot, Stevens. As if I wasn't depressed enough.
Signal from Fighter Patrol. They're detecting warp fields forming in their extreme sensor range.
Identify.
Reading their telemetry now. About 2 dozen total warp fields mostly indicate smaller ships, but... Captain, one's off the charts. It's got to be the Scourge fleet.
Reading their possession. Bearing 35x9x2, near the Saturn orbit.
Our birds are going silent and taking cover.
Reyes, bring them home. Time to intercept Scourge fleet.
At present speed, 27 hours.
Reyes, relay data to the rest of our forces. Try to get a signal through to the rest of our ships to make for the intercept point at best speed.
Aye, sir.
We're in it now.
The Argo stands alone against the foe now speeding towards Earth. Can she hold out? Do we dare to hope that this is not the final chapter and not only her story, but that of humanity as well? You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Episode 5, a Forward Momentum production. Based on Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Leiji Matsumoto and Yoshinobu Nishizaki, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Sean Hill as Michael Vega, Zach McHugh as Hans Schneider, Philippa Ballantyne as Sam Vandam, Nathan B. Butler as Joaquin Reyes, Emery Kinney as Max Stevens, Dave Frizzell as Jordan Venture, Silas Carter as May Gideon, and Joe Harrison as Derek Wildstar. Also heard were Andre de Almeida as General Garen, Jonathan Edward Dolnier as Admiral Khan, and Jim Perry as Emperor Jamorta. This is Mark, the Encaffeinated One, Kilfoyle. This episode was produced and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series is drawn from the original Space Cruiser Yamato anime, composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda. Property-specific sound effects drawn from The Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, available through Voyager Entertainment. Sea of Stars is a non-profit fan production produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Blazers, Uchu Senkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted materials herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended. This program is dedicated to everyone who kept the show alive for so many years. The letter writers, the fans, the ardent followers.
The Fey world is lost. We have spun beyond the reach of the human world. But some chose to stay. Lost, magical souls adrift in a world of the future. And yet now, as the darkness approaches, you must rely on the orphans we left behind to save your world. Step back into the world of magic and find out what happens when the future and the Fae collide. Digital Magic, sequel to the award-winning Chasing the Bard, begins on November 11th, 2009. Subscribe at digitalmagicnovel.com and prepare for magic.
Hello there.
My name is...
Han Solo. I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon.
No.
Lisa called Jar Jar Binks.
No.
Ben Kenobi?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No, Indiana Jim.
The princess?
The princess? She's here? Princess,
no.
What's going on?
The intrepid archgeologist.
I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Well, that's not very nice. Look, would you just let me talk for
once? Your ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Hey!
I am wondering, why are you here?
I'm here to invite you to listen to my podcast, The Adventures of Indiana Jim.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Look, we talk about sci-fi and fantasy books and movies, creative writing, and what's hot in the world of podcasting and new media.
I knew that you were going to say that.
I also have interviews with authors and even talk a little football every now and then.
Why, you slimy, double-crossing, no-good swindler.
Who says you can't be a geek and a sports fan?
Where are you taking this thing?
Oh, right. Podcast.indianajim.net.
Looking for more fan-made Star Wars audio productions? Then look no further than the home of Star Wars fan audio, StarWarsFanWorks.com. It's your source for audio dramas, audio parodies, online radio shows, and podcasts, plus the most comprehensive Star Wars fan audio news found anywhere. StarWarsFanWorks.com. Fandom has a whole new sound.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to this Forward Momentum production. If you'd like to hear more, you can visit our website at, all one word, forwardmomentumproductions.com. There, you can download all previous episodes from all of our audio dramas, as well as find Forward March, our news and upcoming releases podcast. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can do so through the website, or you can send us an email at forwardmomentumproductions@gmail.com. Thank you once again for listening.